Today on This Week in Iowa, the city of Des Moines plans to decrease shootings and shooting deaths. We talk to the man chosen to lead the program and hear from the city on the benchmarks that must be met. Then, after activists save hundreds of dogs from an Iowa puppy mill, Congresswoman Cindy Axney has a plan. Good morning, everyone, and thank you so much for being with us. Here for This Week in Iowa, I'm Sabrina Ahmed. The city of Des Moines has seen at least 12 homicides this year, according to the police department, but there are more shootings that don't end in death. Many of those this year have involved residents not old enough to legally drink. Now the city is turning to a community-based organization to help prevent violence in the city, using creative visions to implement Des Moines' Violence Prevention Initiative. It's a behavioral health approach as opposed to using law enforcement. Local 5's Larissa Leon breaks down the new program, costing nearly $500,000, that will have Akeo Abdul-Samad, a central figure in Des Moines' Black community, take the lead.
Creative Vision has been centering their work around gun violence and crime in the Des Moines community for decades.
Creative Vision started because of drug and gun violence in 1996.
Tonight at the Des Moines City Council meeting, council members voted to collaborate with Creative Vision to implement plans to mitigate gun violence in Des Moines.
Gun violence is a public health and community-based approach to addressing gun violence. It's something that has worked in other communities to reduce incidents of gun violence, to reduce frequency, and it's had great results, and we're finally bringing it to Des Moines and going to start implementing it on the ground.
Creative Vision's founder and CEO, Akeo Abdul-Samad, says in order to reduce violence, we must see the strategies implemented as an investment.
Every city in the United States, says, including Des Moines, has to look at the violence, and addressing the violence as an investment, and not deal with it cosmetically.
Councilmember Josh Mendelbaum knows that this is just a step in the right direction, but he hopes to see curb violence expand in the future.
Right, we know this isn't going to be everything. It's a targeted portion of our community, and it's about having an impact and getting results.
Councilmember Josh Mendelbaum knows that this is just a step in the right direction, but he hopes to see curb violence expand in the future.
So the program will focus in the Drake neighborhood and the Evelyn K. Davis Park areas. The city hopes to hit these three benchmarks within 3 months. They want to have streaks, days without shootings or homicides. Then within 6 months, go weeks without having any shootings or homicides. Then within 9 months, have longer streaks without shootings or homicides. Then in 1 year, they want to see a 30% to 40% reduction compared to the previous year, or substantially lower rate. And they hope to hit these benchmarks by 2022. Coming up on This Week in Iowa, I speak to another member of Des Moines City Council, Connie Bozin, to talk about the City Council's choosing of Creative Visions, why they want to see this program work. The city of Des Moines voted unanimously to implement this program. So I spoke to Connie Bozin about why, and also about the issues that are facing our city that need to be solved from the root cause.
We are here now with Connie Bozin, who is, of course, the at-large member for Des Moines City Council. Connie, talk to me about why the city decided to implement the Cure Violence program, how you guys came up with this idea, and what that looks like in action.
Well, I think based on what we were seeing, the uptick in the violence and really at a younger age, that we needed to do something. And it was brought forward that Cure Violence was a model that was known throughout the nation as something that had been making a difference. And so they did the research, the Cure Violence people came out and analyzed and felt that we had the people in place and the support of the community to do something like this.
Now, it's a specific neighborhood that was chosen to be a part of this program. Talk to me about that process in choosing that neighborhood and why you think that that area can be successful.
Well, I think it's multifaceted. First of all, we see we've seen a lot of shootings in that area. But more importantly, we have strong community support. We have like Creative Visions, who ended up getting the contract, has been there for many years. And I think they have strong neighborhood leaders in that area. So that's a component that's pretty important to make sure this be successful.
So let's talk about Creative Visions. They were chosen to kind of spearhead this program in that neighborhood. Why them?
Well, they were the one that did apply, and I think they have a long history in this community, and they know the neighborhood. And I think, again, when you a huge component of Cure Violence is like a health model, to be preventative, know the source, try to change the behavior. And I think they have a track record of doing that. And I think that, again, they know that neighborhood. They know the kids that are in that neighborhood or the young people that are in that neighborhood. Because really, I think everybody's targeting like that 15 to 24 year old. And so that I think that, that they were a natural to be able to step up and take a lead on this.
So how will this, change what they do in this neighborhood? What are you hoping to see them do? Because there are thresholds that have to be met every 3 months and 6 months and 9 months.
Well, I think the strategies they bring in, it'll be interesting to see what the difference is and what will be learned by this. And it's pretty intensive, very data driven. And I think it's just maybe looking at things a little differently that has, like we said, been successful. Again, it's not the cure-all for everything, but if we can make a difference even in one life, it's well worth it.
You say it's not the cure-all for everything. So let's talk about the city of Des Moines maybe more holistically. What do you think? This is one piece of the puzzle. What else needs to be done to help to prevent violence in the city?
Well, I think that we all know that there's a huge component of the mental health. And we're looking at our crisis team. We've expanded that to be 24/7. We're also putting into the police dispatch a mental health specialist that can take those calls and determine, do police really need to go out or do they just need help? We also added adolescent mental health specialists too that can go out and do those calls. So again, I think it all goes back to prevention. Our goal is to help people where they're at and not incarcerate them. And so many times police are called out on issues that really aren't police issues, but they're mental health issues, drug issues, things though like that, that people really need help.
What do you want people who live in the city of Des Moines to understand about what the city council is doing here and about what Cure Violence is, about what Creative Visions is doing?
I think people need to understand we're looking at different approaches so that we can help people where they're at and not maybe incarcerate them and go down that path where it's a lifelong issues and it's a revolving door for some people. So we need to make sure that we're actively looking at alternatives to having police be involved in issues where people just need help.
Connie Bozen, thank you so much for your time. And we'll be really interested to see, you know, how these thresholds are met in the coming months.
And we are very anxious to get things started too and see how we can make a difference in our community.
Logistically, talk to me real quick. What's the timeline for it?
Well, it will start this upcoming year.
Okay.
And then it will go, the contract is for 1 year. And then, like you said, there's thresholds of 3 months, 6 months. And it'll be reviewed in 6 months to see what difference. And I don't know what exact marks are for what is continued. But again, the Cure Violence, the organization, the overall, they will be reviewing along with the city on what those benchmarks are.
And do you think that this is something that could end up being extended beyond the year?
Yes. And it could be expanded into different areas of the city, too, if we find it successful. Because it's very centered to that area where you know where the people are known. And so it could be that if needed, go to another area.
Okay. Connie Bozen, thank you so much.
Next, we talk to Akeo in depth how Creative Visions came to be, the parallels to today, and the challenges our community must overcome next. The community organization in charge of the Cure Violence program now has pressure to perform. So we can see real change in the number of violent offenses in our city. But Akeo Abdul-Samad says he's up to the challenge. Take a listen.
We are here now with Akeo Abdul-Samad with Creative Visions. And we're talking about the Cure Violence program that just passed the city council here in Des Moines. Akeo, thank you so much for being with me. Let's get started by talking about what Creative Visions specifically wants to do to help curb violence in our city.
Well, creative visions were started because of violence in the community itself. And that was in, 1996, where a young lady, and bless her soul, Phyllis Davis, was shot to death on 9th and University. Individuals came and said, we need to do something about the violence that is taking place in the community. We begin there. And we began by addressing the issues that needed to be done, that needed to be addressed. And those issues were, guns, young people getting guns, young people not having a place to go. It was addressed with the fact that, you had drugs being pumped into the community at that time and individuals were organizing. We took on that task, and we actually met with all the individuals that were involved with this violence. And actually, we had a meeting with 16 of the leaders. With that meeting, six individuals decided to change their lives. And so Creative Visions was born. And, we began to do that. Now, fast forward to 25 years later, we're dealing with some of these individuals, their children's children. So you have, and in that time, what has changed is that you have more accessibility to firearms. We would just, we just put a pamphlet together and we're working with the police department, and they showed us some of the guns that they've taken off some of these young people. Now you're talking about young people that range from anywhere from 13, 14, 15, 16 years old. And these individuals are carrying, 9 millimeters, 357 magnums. So they're carrying calibers of guns that are bigger than some of them that are even carrying the guns, because they're looking at, then you have the increase of social media, you have the increase of the video games, you have still an increase of, mental illness. You have an increase of individuals trying to just survive. So these young people are getting caught up into that. So what we're looking at, working with our team here, led by Vet Muhammad, we're looking at, being able to take the Cure Violence model, add in with what we have already established, and being now to address those issues, to deal with systemic changes that are cosmetic.
Okay, so let's talk about how you can address those issues. What specifically will this $500,000 almost enable Creative Visions to do to, as you said, help to cure violence and get guns off the street?
Well, first of all, working with the city, with Cure Violence, when they contracted with the city, they identified two areas, and that is around the Drake neighborhood and then also the King Irving neighborhood, which would also include River Bend and Mont Damon. So we were concentrating on those two areas. And in doing that, we will actually start providing resources for, a lot of the young people. We will have events in the park. We will be there to mediate. We will deal with the intervention. We also will, help set up like neighborhood watches. We will actually begin conversations with some of these young people, and we'll look at, how do we create jobs? Who has jobs for them, and so it's offering resources to individuals so that they themselves can make some healthy choices, because we can't do it. We can't save anybody, but we provide the resources for them.
This is a daunting task, and the city and Cure Violence put forth some different thresholds that you have to meet over the next 3, 6, 9, 12 months. Do those numbers intimidate you? Do those goals intimidate you?
No, not at all, because we've done it before. We did this. The difference now is that we're able to help us is that we had to work all these years, these 25 years, to change the mindset where individuals looked at this as an investment, you know, into a community, investment into different areas, investment into Des Moines, rather than just giving charity. You know, that this is an investment to create an environment in Des Moines to start addressing the root problems instead of just doing, you know, some cosmetic solutions just to get by.
We'll follow the program and we switch gears to talk about 500 dogs surrendered after living in horrific conditions. The owner, a repeat offender, but still licensed. What Congresswoman Cindy Axne says must be done. In November, 500 dogs were surrendered after they were discovered to be living in horrific conditions under the care of a USDA licensed breeder. We got to see some of those dogs back in November, and that's what this video is from. The Department of Justice requested the owner, Daniel Gingrich of Seymour, Iowa, surrender all the animals in his care after more than 190 violations in the Animal Welfare Act. The complaint filed by the DOJ details horrific conditions, including dead dogs, dogs with untreated injuries and illnesses, dogs in cages that were too small, moldy food. Well, now Congresswoman Cindy Axne is trying to close enforcement loopholes in the Animal Welfare Act. I spoke to her about the issues with enforcement and why it's important to her, what this would do. Take a listen.
We are here now with Congresswoman Cindy Axne, and we are here to talk about that legislation that she has proposed. Congresswoman Axne, thank you so much for being with us. I know this is an issue that is very close to you. You are a huge dog lover. Talk to me about the legislation that you're proposed and why you think that there is an issue that needs to be fixed.
Well, and you're right, Sabrina. Not only am I a huge dog lover, but I've been working on puppy mill issues for quite a while here in Iowa, even before going to Congress with some local groups. Listen, things aren't getting better. That's why we've seen violations issued by the USDA to these puppy mills go down by 92% over the last 5 years, which essentially means they're not getting out there and enforcing the laws. And what's happening is we see situations like poor Goldie, who had to be euthanized, who this bill is framed after, because of those loopholes that the USDA doesn't have to really follow through on. And in this case, they'd seen her condition. They'd seen the dog's conditions in this, you know, Wayne County facility. They didn't act on it because of some of the internal loopholes, and they walked away and the dogs got worse. And we've got to stop that.
So talk to me about what those loopholes are. Why aren't they enforcing these issues that, I mean, these dogs are living in these horrible conditions.
Oh, absolutely. You know, let me first talk about the fact of even trying to get in for an inspection. If the facility owner doesn't want to open the door, they don't open the door. And then they can do that multiple times over. And the USDA's recourse is to then set up a courtesy visit. Well, when you're setting up a pre-planned visit with somebody, they can really frame that however they want. Now, in a lot of cases, then they show up for this courtesy visit, but because it's deemed that, it now has different reporting requirements. So they don't necessarily have to report on all the things that they're seeing there. We also have other laws that are loopholes, I should say, that really violate the spirit of the Animal Welfare Act. Things like we're able to go in there and, hopefully, get folks to engage in different practices without holding them accountable to following the law, but asking them really to, comply. And they don't comply. We've got to enforce those laws. So it's not working for Iowa. They're not complying when it comes to following the animal welfare laws. They're putting these dogs in very difficult situations. They're not getting food. They're not getting water. They don't see fresh air in many times. They don't get the health care that they need. And then they circumvent all this by literally just not answering the door. And then the USDA has to follow different procedures because of that.
So talk to me about what this law specifically would do.
Well, it makes it absolutely mandatory that they have to have at least one annual visit. They have to then have follow-up visits that will be required if there is a violation. They have to distribute those violations and enforce those. They have to remove animals from the property if they're in a bad shape. In this case, they literally saw Goldie, saw that she was in terrible shape, did nothing about it. And then 2 months later, when they came back to remove the dogs, she had to be euthanized. Come on. So they have to pull those animals now so that hopefully those animals can live. That's one thing. The deterrents are going to be greater, Sabrina. Some of these folks make $10,000 a month in sales and or profit. Yeah, exactly. So when you get a tiny little fine, it's a slap on the hand. It can't be a couple hundred bucks. It has to be something that's meaningful. And then finally, you know, we're going to just make sure that we coordinate with federal and state. And in particular, our local law enforcement, our sheriffs are out there trying to do a good job to make sure that we can protect these companion animals. They don't have the resources to do it. They don't have the information. And there isn't a good crossway between what's happening federally to look at these violations and help our folks on the ground. So it's a lot of things going into this bill.
What are you hearing? Is this something, I know you've gotten some bipartisan support, but is this something you think will actually be able to be passed?
Listen, if there's one thing I can tell you out here, if it comes to our dogs, there's bipartisan support. So I really do think that this is something that can be passed. And this is supported, you know, by animal welfare organizations across the country, including our own ARL here in Iowa. And so I think it's something we can get done.
Congresswoman Axne, thank you so much for your time. We'll continue to watch the process of this bill. So if you see or hear of any more progress, please do let us know. That's something that we here at Local 5 like to follow. It's near and dear to our hearts, too.
Well, I appreciate that. And I'll just briefly mention, it is the holidays. Please adopt, don't shop.
Wonderful. Thank you, Congresswoman. I appreciate your time.